And then the following week, we're going to start a series in February on relationships. How many have any relationships? And the Bible has a lot to say how to make your relationships go better. So two more weeks on grace, and then we're going to have a little series on relationship. Welcome Pastor Mike as he comes this morning and shares the word with us on grace. Wow.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Just want to honor this guy for a little bit. I'm just so proud and so filled with joy to be able to serve under him. And he just serves with so much grace. Hey, he serves with so much grace. He really does. And he's so humble, and I just praise God for an awesome man of God that I can look up to and just thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you. Love you so much. I want to start out with a true story. This is a true story now that we actually heard last night from a friend of ours who's from Baker County. And he was telling this story. Takes place in Baker County in the 1950s and 60s, sometime in that area. And at that time, churches were known. They don't have that many churches at that time, and they're small congregations. But so the churches were known for the wealthy families that went to that church, that gave a lot to those churches. The Knab family, they gave to the Baptist church. They attended the Baptist church. The Davises gave to the Church of Christ. The Wells, they gave to the Methodist church, and they were faithful to attend that. And there's a sheriff in this town called Ed Yarborough. And before he got saved, he was not a good guy. And he drank a lot, and he was just not very good. The thing is, his son passed away, and that was a defining moment in his life where he turned to God, and he got saved. I mean, it was an event that humbled him, and he turned to God. He got saved. He got so on fire for God, he built a church in Baker County, a brand new church. He called it the Lord's Church. He didn't have a preacher, so he would get a preacher from out of town to come in. The first preacher that came into town, he couldn't find the church. He was looking everywhere, all around, couldn't find the church. He saw a guy on a street corner, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, I need to find the Lord's Church." And the guy scratched his head. He goes, "Well, I see the Knab's Church is over there. The Wells Church is down the street there. And the Davis's Church is over here. You know, I don't think the Lord has a church in Baker County." Oh, just kidding. But that was a true story, actually. We were told that last night, and I laughed pretty hard. I wanted to share it with you this morning. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. It's a beautiful morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for an awesome congregation. We just worship you and praise you with all of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, just bless this message and let it speak to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the title of my message is Multiplying Grace. Multiplying Grace. You know that God has a desire to use you for his glory? He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You have a high calling. That's what Scripture says. You have a high calling. And we're supposed to press towards that high calling. But we can't do it alone. We can't do it without God's grace. We just can't. We need grace, more and more grace. And we should never get to the place where we say, I have enough grace. I have enough. I got some grace when I first got saved. That's enough. No. To do more for God, we need more of his help. We need more of his favor. We need more of his power and strength in us. We need more of his grace. We need that unmerited favor in our lives. And we must become reliant, less reliant on ourselves and more reliant upon God. The older we get in our faith, the more mature we get. I gave everyone sermon notes. And if you notice, you got them on your seat when you came in. So if you would get those out, we're going to fill in the blanks here a little bit. The first scripture that I have for you at the top is 2 Peter 1:2 out of the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace be multiplied to you. This was the Apostle Peter's prayer for this church he was writing to, a large group of churches. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's my prayer for everyone this morning, is grace and peace be multiplied to you. Multiplied. The greatest example of grace that we see is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Can we attest to that? Over 2,000 years ago, God did something amazing. He sent his son, Jesus, who was fully God, but he also became fully man. He humbled himself to become a man, to put on flesh. And he lived a perfect life that we could never live. Perfect. And then he died a death he never deserved for us to be in our place. Because we deserve, judgment, but because we all fall short of God's glory. But God, he did something amazing. He gave us his grace. That was our first introduction to just His grace, His love, His passion for us, to reconcile us to Him through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our first encounter with grace is on the day that we repent of our sins and make Jesus our Lord and Savior. Amen. Remember that day? Oh, if you haven't experienced that yet, we're going to take care of that at the end of the service so you can experience that. God's grace, it just doesn't stop. It multiplies. It keeps going. He doesn't just want to pour out grace once in your life. He wants to pour out grace in your life each day. He wants to give you a greater grace, a greater blessing, a greater reward, a greater maturity, a greater strength, a greater passion. Listen to the messages from weeks ago, and you get an understanding of grace. Pastor Bill did an amazing job of going over it, so I don't want to rehash all the definitions of grace, but we need it, and we need more of it in our lives. We grow as we rely more and more on God's grace. So, question is, on your form, how do we multiply grace? Fill in the blank, by extending grace. By extending grace. You have a scripture there. Do not be misled. This is Galatians 6:7. Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. In other words, you reap what you sow. So an apple seed, you should expect some apples to grow up out of the ground. If you sow an orange seed, you should expect some oranges. If you sow grace and extend grace to other people around you, you should expect more grace in return. Amen. So, how do we do that? It's easier said than done. Amen? And we all struggle with pride and selfishness. I know I do. We struggle in this area. So how do we do this? How do we extend grace? And in turn, multiply grace in our lives. I give you three ways to extend grace, and this is not exhaustive. This is not a theological dissertation on extending grace and multiplying grace. Okay? These are just three ways that God laid on my heart to share with you, and I'll elaborate on each one. The first one, and you can fill in the blank, be humble. Be humble. There's a scripture, 1 Peter 5:5. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but amen, He gives grace to the humble. Clothe yourselves with humility. How many of you like to walk outside with just your socks on? One person. Normally, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't walk outside with just your socks on. Why do we do that with humility? Why do we walk outside with only one sock of humility on or two socks? It says, clothe yourselves with humility. Put your pants on. Put your jacket on. Put your clothes on. Clothe yourself with humility. Let it be seen. Let it be known. As a church, we should be known for our humility. Christ was so humble. He humbled himself to the point of death. He didn't deserve it at all, yet he humbled himself. He didn't have to become a man. Born in a stable? Really dirty, unsanitary circumstances. Born in a stable. He was so humble. We should be known for our humility. It should be seen. What does that mean? Don't boast. Don't brag. It's hard sometimes when you're really good at something, too. Amen? It's hard sometimes when you know you're really good at something and the person next to you is not. And you're tempted to judge them. You're tempted to, you know. I know I'm pretty good. Don't brag. Don't view yourself, in other words, don't view yourself as better than others. You can write this in some empty space. I don't have the scripture reference off. I'll just paraphrase it. But you can go back and read it when you study. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. You can just write it in the empty space on your notes. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Jesus is telling a parable about these two men in a temple. One's a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the religious elite in the Jewish community. They were the top religious dogs in the community, okay? Dogs, I said dogs. They're well-respected, thought highly of, and they also struggled with pride. And there's a tax collector also in the temple, and they were the religious outcasts of the community. They were despised as being just wicked, worse than a regular sinner. They were their own brand of sinner called tax collector. Why? Because they would collect taxes for the Roman government, and they would charge more than what they were supposed to take so that they could pocket a good amount and live off of that. And they would charge too much and collect too much. And the Jewish people thought they were traitors. These were Jews who taxed their own people and overtaxed them. So they were despised and hated. This guy was an outcast. And the Pharisee's praying in the temple, and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. And he just starts boasting about how righteous he is. He just starts recounting all the things that he does for God and all the things that he does and does not do. He's very self-righteous and full of pride. And to contrast, Jesus shares what the tax collector is doing, kind of off in the corner. He's just standing off in the corner, and he can barely lift his head. And his eyes are just down, and he's beating his chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. And Jesus said that one of those men went home justified, meaning their sins were forgiven, and the other did not. The Pharisee went home not justified, even though he thought he was righteous. And the tax collector went home with his sins forgiven. That's humility. That's how he received grace. He didn't think too highly of himself the way the Pharisee did. Oh, praise God. What a great example. Go home and read it for yourself, Luke chapter 18, verse 9, when you get a chance. The second way to multiply grace or extend grace to others is a tough one as well. Number two, fill it in the blank, be forgiving. Be forgiving. This can be really hard for people who struggle with a lot of past hurts. Amen? You've been through a lot. You've been, maybe grew up with abuse of some kind. Oof. It's tough to forgive that person who hurt you. Or those people, multiple people. Even you have a struggle, hard time forgiving God, even wondering, what in the world? Why did this, God, you're full of justice. Why did you do this? Why did you allow this? It's hard. I know it's hard. The verse I gave you, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Whatever. There's no asterisk down at the bottom of the page when you read it that says, except for that really annoying uncle or that neighbor that just always messes with your trash cans. It's like, we got a neighbor that messes with our trash cans. And I forgive him every time. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Why do we need to forgive? Because it's God's nature. He never asks us to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. If he forgives us for our sins, who are we to withhold forgiveness to someone else? We just can't. And what does this mean? And forgive whatever grievances. It means don't be easily offended. People offend us many times. But it says don't be easily offended. If someone wrongs you, extend them grace. Forgive them. Let it go. I found if you just purpose in your heart ahead of time, before offenses come, just say, Lord, I'm just going to forgive no matter what. Just expect each day for people to offend you and expect each day to forgive them. And I guarantee you, you're going to find victory in this area. You will. Don't say, I'm offended. I'm leaving the church. No, don't do that. We love you here. We may mess up sometimes, and we may offend you sometimes because we misspeak or we're not perfect. But we love you. Don't leave. Don't quit your marriage. Don't quit your job. You know, just stick with it. Extend grace to one another. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. I love the way the New American Standard puts it. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. You know, we can fall short of the grace of God. That no root, this is key, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. The root of bitterness starts out as a little seed, a little offense. But the more we mull it over and the more we meditate on it, it becomes this deep root of bitterness and just branches out in your heart and just poisons your relationships. It poisons your relationship with God and it poisons your relationship with others. It's not good. It defiles others. That it means it poisons others around you. Ugh. And I grew up falling short of God's grace in this area, definitely. I had severe bitterness towards my father. severe bitterness towards my dad. Many of you don't know this, only a few. I really shared this in when we ministered in the prison, I don't know how long ago, a couple of years ago. But I grew up with abuse in our home, and it got so bad, my daddy made terrible mistakes, and he hurt our family. And the foster, HRS came and took us kids away, and I was like 5 years old. I was in the foster care system for a little less than a year, not knowing why, not understanding. I was just a little kid. I didn't know. I just prayed and asked God to bring our family together. I had no idea what was going on. And as I got older, by the grace of God, our family was reconciled. There was a lot of counseling. There was a lot of prayer, and there was reconciliation. Thank God. Praise God for reconciliation. Yes. And forgiveness, of course. But I had yet to learn a lesson in forgiveness. The older I got, the more I learned about what happened. And this root of bitterness took place in my heart, took root. And I grew up hating, despising my dad. It's not right. Scripture says, honor your mother and father, for long will your days be on the earth. But I wasn't doing it. I couldn't stand being in the presence of my father. I would yell at him. We would get into anything that annoyed me about him, I'd just go off. I'd yell at him. There was one day that we got into such a heated argument, I almost threw a punch at him. It was that bad. And I hated it, because I knew what Scripture said. I knew there's a verse that says, where Jesus is warning people, if you don't forgive, my Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And of course, that scared me to death, because if you don't receive forgiveness from God, you don't get to go to heaven. And that scared me. And I knew I had an issue. And right after this altercation with my dad, I ran up to my room and I threw myself on the bed and I was just crying, because I knew I had bitterness in my heart towards my dad. And I remember that night, I was just wrestling with God. I encourage you, if you haven't received a breakthrough in some area, just take some time one night and wrestle with God. That means pray and pray and ask and ask and don't stop asking. I was praying and pleading with God, crying, tears streaming down my face, asking for God to remove this bitterness. I had to confess, I forgive him. I forgive my dad. I forgive him. I forgive him. Lord, forgive me for holding on to all this. And finally, at one point, it broke. It broke. And I was never the same. And then I started, from then forth, being able to look at my dad, and God just started showing me stuff about my dad that I could respect. Oh, he's a great cook. He's a great cook. Man, I have so much to learn from him about cooking. He worked hard. He provided for our family. There were so many things about him. He was really, in a lot of ways, he was kind. He just grew up with abuse in his home. It was one of those generational curses that just kept passing down. But it broke with me. Amen. 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 You can have that. You can be set free from your past. You can receive that. But what it takes is being forgiving. Don't hold on to that pain. It's not worth it. It doesn't do you any good. It didn't do me any good. I'm telling you, I have joy when I spend time with my family during the holidays. I love it. I look forward to it. I look forward to going Christmas shopping for my dad, getting him brand new pants, because he just doesn't seem to know how to take care of his pants. So I just love that. If I hadn't have forgiven and extended grace to my dad, I would not be able to do that. We would be estranged, and I would really be like my other siblings who struggle in the same area. The third way to multiply grace, fill in the blank, be praying with right motives. Be praying with right motives. What does that mean? Means we got to have a pure heart when we're asking God for stuff. We got to examine our motives. Let's read this passage of Scripture. I love it. James chapter 4. By the way, if you guys just need a good kick in the pants, read the book of James. Man, yeah, let the Holy Spirit correct you in a lot of areas. It's good. James chapter 4. I love this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, catch this, even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. It just cuts to the core. Oh, Lord, help me. Sometimes we just have selfish prayers. Yeah? Oh, Lord, please don't let me run into that person. That person's so annoying. Oh, Lord. And God goes, all right, I'll bring that person along because you need to grow in the love of God. Sometimes their motives are all wrong. Praise God. There's a little joke I found online. A young man once asked God, how long is a million years to you? God replied, a million years to me is just like a single second to you. The young man asked God, what is $1 million like? God replied, $1 million to me is just like one single penny to you. The young man got up his courage and he asked God, God, could I have one of your pennies? God smiled and replied, certainly, just a second. Sometimes we just, I was that kid too, definitely. I played the Monopoly game at McDonald's growing up. They always had, you know, get Boardwalk and Park Place on the Monopoly game, and you get $1 million, man. And I was like, God, I'm gonna, you know, pay off the church building. I'm gonna do all this and that. But, you know, I had some ulterior motives as well. I'm also gonna, you know, have a nice boat. I'm gonna, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I wanted. God knew my heart. And also, here's a good thing. God knows how much you can handle. If you can't handle $1 million, he's not gonna give you $1 million. If you can't handle that kind of responsibility, not only that, I mean, each time I hear about these guys winning the lottery, and then you look at, they're so happy at the beginning, but then you look at their lives 5 years, 10 years later, they almost all of them say, I wish it never happened. All of a sudden, they're a target for everyone, and they have all this responsibility with this money, and everyone's rushing at them because they want a piece of it, and they just don't know what to do, and they're overwhelmed, and they said they wish it never happened. Ugh. Just trust that God knows how much you can handle. Pray with the right motives and be willing to just be brutally honest with God and say, Lord, you know my heart. Search it. Search it. Help me. If our motives are rooted in pride or selfishness, we are not a candidate to receive grace in the area that we pray for. Really, if we're rooted in pride and selfishness, if that's what our motives are, what does Scripture say? God resists the proud. He resists it. He's not going to answer that prayer. Your motives are wrong. But if you have the pure motives from God and you trust in his timing, it will come. As long as it's in his word. As long as it's a promise that we have that hold on to, we can attach our faith to it, just as Pastor Bill was teaching these past few Sundays. So what should we do? We pray for the right motives. We ask God to really examine our heart. And then we're able to just really receive the blessings that God has for you. We're able to receive the grace of God. And those are three keys. It's not exhaustive. It's simple, right? Just three. Be humble. Be forgiving. Mm-hmm. Be praying with the right motives. But it's so hard at times. And that's okay. We're all in it together. We're all working hard, seeking after God. No one's perfect. But I want to encourage you, if you do work on those things this week, just little by little, find ways to extend grace to people. Find ways to just humble yourself more. Forgive that person that hurt you years ago. Let God examine your heart and really be open to that correction. I guarantee you, you're going to see grace multiplied in your life more and more. I just feel like, just want to encourage y'all this morning. You have access to a lot more grace than you realize. I experienced it this week. I can testify to it. I felt an unusual amount of peace the more I humbled myself. The more I got the attention off of myself, I just felt like, wow, things just started clicking. So I can testify to that. I'm sure many other people would. Hope you got something good out of this. Yeah. Morning, Victory Church.
Man, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You brought us a great message. I tell you, I'm so excited about the pastoral team that we have at Victory Church, Pastor Mike, Pastor Carl, Pastor Kaivon. They're all men of God and able to teach. That's what the Bible says a leader should be. And Pastor Mike proved that today. He was able to teach, brought us a great word, something we can think about all week, right, and begin to put it into practice. That's what, you know, hopefully our Sunday service does a lot of things. Hopefully it's inviting to the unchurched and people that are seeking, and it makes sense and helps them. But for us that have been in it maybe for a while, and for everybody, hopefully our services bring about a transformation. I think that's kind of our goal, to transform us from, you know, church is not a place to display, it's not a museum to display perfect people. It's a hospital to help hurting humanity. And we're all in the hospital, just in different wards, different places, and hopefully maybe we're helping some other people while we're getting help and we're growing and we're learning, because we're all on a journey, right? Nobody has arrived yet. I certainly haven't. I mean, nobody on this planet, Billy Graham, you know, whoever. If we're people and Christians, we're growing. And part of church is to help us change every week. I got a lot out of that. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Let's just have a word of prayer to kind of seal that. Lord, we thank you for this message, and I'm sure that you've spoken to every one of us individually and personally, and things, maybe we've got some bitterness. Maybe there's stuff that we need to go home today and get on our face before you. Maybe some of us are still angry about something that happened in the past, and it wasn't a good thing. It was a bad thing. And we're not saying that what that person did was right, but what we're saying is we want to be free from the past to be strong in the future. Help us today, tomorrow, the next day to struggle, to wrestle with you and some of the hurts that we have, so that we can forgive those people and get free, so that we don't repeat the hurts that were passed, given to us, that we don't in turn pass them on to others. We want to be free. We want to break the chain. We want to break the curse and the cycle of pain. We want to be free, and we want to bless people. Help us this week to think about this message and how we can humble ourselves and forgive others and be a blessing to others. We thank you for this message today. Right now, I got a very important question for everybody that's here today. Here's the question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. Hey, that's a pretty important consequence to be leaving to chance. You say, but does anybody know? Can you know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you little children that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. How? How do you get eternal life? Well, someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. You must be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes. He lives on the inside of you, makes you into a new person, forgives all your sins, and sets you on a new path for life. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why God brought you here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to take care of that. You might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. And I want to make a new start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just right where you're at, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. If today is a new day, just slip up your hand real quick right where you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? It's a new start. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you want to make a new start. Thank you. Everybody pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. You know, some of the stuff that we talked about.